This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We get into a conversation now just to review some of the coalitions that have been formed. A big one being the IFP and the ANC announcing that they have found each other in the 21 councils that are hung in KwaZulu-Natal. Where the ANC has most seats, it will govern. Where the IFP has most seats, it will govern. However, I wonder if that is responsive enough to what the voters were telling some of the political parties in these municipalities. I also wonder if these deals as about stability, as some people profess that they are about. So it is true, two-member coalitions are better than seven-member coalitions. But are they really about stability? Or are they also about hedging the bets for 2024? I really wonder. But I've got a capable panel of experts here, people who live, breathe, read, talk, probably dream politics. Prof. Mxolisi Ndletyana, good morning. Welcome to Power Talk.
Hi, good morning, Thembu. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for making time, Gaba. Dr. Ntsikelelo Breakfast, a good morning to you and welcome to Power Talk.
Thanks, man, for having me.
Always a pleasure. Nompu Melelo Sbalukulu, Molo, and welcome to Power Talk.
Thank you so much. Good morning to my other panelists.
Thank you very much. Nompumelelo, that line of yours, Nompumelelo's line, let's try clean it up. I was having a break in transmission there. Thank you, team. Prof. Ndletyana, let me start off with you. I mean, in that voluminous book, Marriage is of Inconvenience, you have a few chapters in there on questions of coalitions. Also saw your favorite city, Qeberha, forming an interstation arrangement yesterday. I'll give each of you your opening remarks, really, say 3 minutes each to open up and give me a sense of, you know, what you've made of this moment. Are these coalition talks any different to some that we have seen previously?
Well, I'm slightly disappointed with what is happening now. Of course, a lot more is still to happen, but what has happened so far is somewhat disappointing because parties don't seem to have learned from the lessons of the last 5 years. That if you are looking for a partner, obviously you have to look at that person's previous performance. The recent deal, for instance, between the PA and the ANC was somewhat surprising because they had a similar arrangement in Johannesburg and the ANC kicked out PA because the PA used their position, for instance, the economic portfolio in Johannesburg to raid the purse pretty much and get rid of competent managers, especially at the city market, in an attempt to bring in their own people. They wanted to influence the awarding of contracts. And the city market was messed up because of that. And I'm not sure if it has recovered from that because it lost a lot of competent people. So one would have expected that the ANC would not go into an arrangement with PA so easily. And if it did, it would then have very stringent conditions that would guide that alliance and make sure that the impropriety of the past doesn't repeat itself. So far, I don't know if there is any arrangement. That's the one disappointing thing. And secondly, and lastly, in I'm avoiding the Qeberha thing. You know where I stand on this thing.
No. I know. In fact, I always think of you. I mean, you've got an entire book with the title Port Elizabeth. And I wanted to ask you one time, I've just been forgetting, Gaba, to ask, as a writer, do you think it will be easy to make the transition from Port Elizabeth to Qeberha?
Well, they missed a wonderful opportunity. I mean, the reason I object to the name, I was asked to write the entire objection to the name. And there were a lot of faults, inadequacies about the adoption of the name Kabega. For instance, they had less than 400 people attending these gatherings in a metro where you have 1.5 million people. And the name Kabega applies to the old Woma township. And a long time ago, in 2010, the city council had adopted the name Nelson Mandela Metro. You know, so for all those reasons, but it's a long discussion.
Absolutely.
That you and I will get
but I'm sure we'll do it another time. But give me your last thoughts on this issue of that coalition we saw yesterday out there, AIM, you know, and the likes and the DA and so on, getting into a coalition there.
My brief point on this one for now is that the metro has resumed on a wrong footing altogether and yet again. Yesterday they were meant the purpose was to elect municipal officials, and they didn't do that because of some deliberate confusion that was created over who should preside over that inaugural council meeting. And the MEC of COCTA in the Eastern Cape, Poli Lemata, is highly implicated in this. He seems to be using his powers as MEC to delay the process in the hope that the ANC will strike some deal. So the start is not encouraging at all. So hence my point that they don't seem to be learning from previous experiences, and they are back to selfish interest altogether.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Let me bring you, Nompumelelo, now to give us your opening, you know, 3-minute remarks in terms of what you have observed with this wave of coalition talks. Of course, the aftermath of the 1st of November, leaving us with 66 hung councils and some metros.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lukon. I hope my line is better now. Look, I think for me, the thing that stands out is that voters want parties to govern in coalition. And that's, you know, what they've demanded on a broader scale than they did in 2016. I mean, almost double. But it's clear that voters are more prepared for that reality than political parties are themselves. And when you look at it, of course, forming and working in coalitions, it requires compromise, it requires pragmatism, it requires consensus seeking and the prioritization of the broader interests of residents. But when you look at these coalition negotiations and talks, it's really about posturing, it's about power plays, and we don't really see that much going into about the practicalities of how these deals and coalition relationships are going to work in terms of delivering on the practical you know, requirements of local government. And then the other thing for me is that you know, it is particularly difficult, I think, for the major parties in particular, because of the aversion of power sharing, you know, this idea that they don't want to lose control, you know, they want these control of these councils, of course, as a way of continuing to show up their power, and of course in preparation for 2024 as well. And I also think the other issue that was always of concern, even during the campaign season, was this idea of this ideological rigidity and this idea that you know, parties went out saying they wouldn't work with one another. This exclusion of each other, saying, you know what, we're not willing to work with this one, you know. And I think the voters themselves are demanding that parties work together. So I think that there is that clash of interest between what the political parties feel is their priority and what residents in these different municipalities feel are their priorities and what it is that they would want political parties to achieve. And so those would be my opening remarks for now, Lukona.
Thank you so much, Nompumelelo, there giving you us, you know, your opening remarks. People of Power, 0861-987-000 is the dial for you to be part of this Thought Council as we do an in-depth review of this coalition governments. I've got Professor Mcebisi Ntletyana, Dr. Nsekelo Breakfast, Nompumelelo Sibalukhulu joining us on the line. I do have bills to pay. I think let's pay them now before I give Dr. Breakfast a chance to give us his opening remarks, and then we continue the conversation.
Thought Council.
Indeed, 20 minutes past 10. We are back. My guests, Prof. Mcebisi Ndletyana, Dr. Ntsikelelo Breakfast, Nompumelelo Sibalukhulu, talking all things coalitions. You can call in, share your thoughts and questions on 0861-987-000. Dr. Breakfast, let me come to you now. We spoke a bit just after, you know, the results were trickling in while we were still at the Results Operations Center. But now the results, of course, have been declared, gazetted. We now know where we stand. The question becomes, what are you making of the moment we are in, and time is running out for political parties?
Yeah, so I think the challenge for me is that, first of all, South Africa doesn't have a long-standing history of coalition formations. The first power-sharing arrangement, I think, was in 1924, during the time of Smith. I don't know, he entered into a coalition with. And then the second one was in 1934, between, I think, the National Party and the South African Party. And then subsequent to that, the National Party dominated the political landscape until the ANC rose to prominence, I think, in 1994. And then after that, we saw the ANC having a decline in the early 2000s. And then that's when we saw power-sharing arrangements coming into the picture. Now, the challenge is that our founding fathers and mothers of the Constitution, I think, omitted to include a conflict management mechanism provision in the Constitution. So the political elite has a tendency to rush into joining forces by forming these power-sharing arrangements without developing a conflict management mechanism in order to deal with their own internal contradictions. No wonder these power-sharing arrangements, they fall apart. So long as you don't have a framework or a piece of legislation, including an independent body to hold political parties accountable when they make agreements, these arrangements will be short-lived. But it's good that the IFP alongside the ANC, they have a strategic alliance, though I think that the decision was made on top and brought down at the bottom. So I suspect that there might be a sabotage there. Some of the leaders on the ground might vote against the will of their leaders at national level, because this is again another problem, because these power sharing arrangements, they are made by political elite at national level, and then decisions are brought down to the leaders on the ground. So some people might vote against the will of their party leaders, but of course I think discipline will kick in.
Got you loud and clear. Prof. Ndletyana, I mean, Dr. Breakfast, taking us all the way back to the times of Herzog and Jan Smuts in terms of coalition formations in South Africa during those moments of transitions between 1924 into the 1930s. But let's talk now about the other question he raises on the IFP and the ANC coalition. Now, this is not a new coalition in KZN. You know this, Prof. Ndletyana. 1994, there was a government of unity there, ANC getting 3 MEC seats in the provincial cabinet. But this time around, how do you appreciate the arrangement? I'll give you two municipalities that are a point of concern. Ethekwini, where I've lived a lot, ANC at about 42%. Msunduzi, Pieter Maritzburg, a city that has been run down for years. ANC being broken to below 50%. But effectively, the IFP deal says, well, to the voters, we don't care what you were doing. Here is the ANC back to govern. What do we make of that? Does this deal demonstrate any sensitivity to what the voters were trying to communicate? Exactly what Nompumelelo calls voters being ready for coalition governments, but parties seemingly not.
Well, actually, let me start off broadly in a broad way. KZN has the longest experience of coalition governments since 1994. As you are alluding to earlier, you had a coalition provincial government there
to a point where, you know, the ANC and the IFP got so close, especially Jacob Zuma, who was MEC of Finance, together with Frank Galose, who was Premier. They got so close that Buthelezi did not like it. He fired Frank Galose because he thought Frank was too pliant to Jacob Zuma.
And then the ANC embraced Frank and made him an ambassador.
Exactly. So that's how close relations were, and those relations continued. Beyond 2009 elections in many municipalities, especially beginning in the year 2000. KZN and the Western Cape have had the largest number of coalitions, for instance. The only province that did not have coalitions up until now was Mpumalanga. It's only now that Mpumalanga has coalitions. Mm. I think there's about three.
Yeah.
And so there's a long experience to draw from in terms of what works, what doesn't work. But what this tells us ultimately is that politicians don't always mean what they say. For instance, these two municipalities that we've just mentioned, they were previously under ANC governments, and nothing had improved there. And so it is quite surprising that the IFP would agree to returning leadership of those municipalities to the same party that had run things to the ground. And part of the reason, I guess, that the IFP had initially come out against working with the ANC was because they did not like maladministration that had happened under the ANC. And now for them to go back to the same party, it's all about self-interest. It's all about the party getting power. It's not so much the broader issues of ensuring that things work well. And most importantly, Tembo, we have to get a sense of what these agreements are. And in fact, in the case of the IFP, they are saying there isn't even any agreement. They'll just work on issue by issue, which is, so they are not going to bind the ANC to anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's self-defeating.
Absolutely. And I wonder, Nompumelelo, what you make in terms of what this communicates to voters. I want to remain on the city of eThekwini. IFP was at the front of demanding the release of the Manasseh report, for example, from the MEC of COGTA, then Nomusa Dube Ncube, because they were arguing that it must be public so that you deal with the maladministration and the corruption in that municipality. What does this communicate to voters when the same IFP might come back in 2024 and say, the party you can trust?
Well, I think what's very clear is that there's very little distinction in this country between local politics and the national and provincial level politics. And I say that because, of course, local government is really about the operational, the administrative, you know, the nitty-gritties of delivery, of enabling, of facilitating access to amenities, social goods, maintenance of infrastructure, etc. But we see that political parties are more interested in the more sort of strategic and like I said before, the positioning themselves for power rather than positioning themselves for the improvement of the delivery of municipalities and administration of municipalities. And that is exactly the message it's sending to the voters, is that political parties, particularly the major political parties, do not prioritize them, do not prioritize their interests and their needs as residents of local municipalities. And really what it's about is really about power and self-interest, as Mr. Vichane has already mentioned. And I also just to think about, for instance, if you look at the example in a place like India, where really in local and municipal level, the major parties don't have as much influence in that space, because how that system has evolved is that local politics is really the domain of parties and of candidates that really belong to communities and really live in those municipalities. But I think also the how these negotiations are going is that top-down approach.
Now let's hold that thought, Nompumelelo. I have to run to news headlines, but I do want to come back to this issue of the negotiations being top-down, almost emasculating the very local actors that will be the mayors, the speakers, the representatives, the MMCs. Where is their voice? Where do they feature in this? Katlego Legodi has the latest Power News headlines.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
It is 25 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. I continue this thought council with my guests, Prof. Mcebisi Ndletyana, Nompumelelo Sibalukhulu, and Dr. Ntsikelelo Breakfast. I'll move and get Dr. Breakfast to also touch on that last point that Nompumelelo closed off before news headlines. These agreements, Dr. Breakfast, seemingly being dictated to from the top, but something seems different this time around, though. In 2016, we saw a lot of political parties getting into a global agreement of cooperation, where it was coordinated by the DA, the UDM, COPE, ACDP, you mentioned them. They were all there in that agreement. This time around, it seems as if we are almost going to see a case-by-case basis, even though the agreement might be resolved nationally.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, in a few well-chosen words, democracy refers to government of the people, by the people, and for the people, according to the late Abraham Lincoln. Mm. So now, elections must be an expression of the will of the people.
Yeah.
Now, after the elections, if you are going to join forces as political parties and omit to take on board the public, that is a significant omission. It's not a mere omission. So am I doing that? This is a matter of a concern, you know, that now political parties have forgotten about their voters, or that they are making decisions without the knowledge of their voters. I think if there is a framework that will be developed, they need to take on board the views of the public, chanting away forward. The other issue is that I've been concerned of late, in particular, you know, during the build-up to the elections, because we saw national leaders campaigning on behalf of their political parties. I think with great respect, some of them were out of depth. I don't blame them about the issues of local government. Mm. Because, you know, when you are a national leader, you focus too much on strategic issues. What do I mean by that? You focus on the things that have to do with the direction that the country is taking. You know what I mean? You know, the national issues.
Yeah.
But now there are certain specificities of local government. Local government is a different kettle of fish. Is the most regulated government. You cannot respond to those issues by natural wisdom or by common sense. So I picked up that some of the national leaders they have lost touch with what is happening. Mm. On the ground, like for instance, with great respect, but people talk about doing away with disdain, expropriation of land without compensation, and so on. Those things have nothing to do with local government. So it could have been good, in my opinion, if the leaders on the ground were the ones that were leading their political campaigns and are the ones, even at the moment, that are negotiating on behalf of their political parties, because they are in touch with what is happening on the ground.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the leaders. Yeah.
Now, Prof. Ndletyana, let me bring you in, because in the book that you did on Port Elizabeth, you alluded to the fact that over the years, what happens at a local level is that there is a migration of good, strong, capable leaders. They end up a bisho in the provincial legislature or even in the national parliament. The very centering of national leaders, for me, in these negotiations, seems to be an appreciation from them that, in fact, they have little confidence in the local players who will be leading those municipalities to make the best decisions that align with their party interests, but also the interests of the voters, as they have communicated, especially in hung municipalities where, you know, in fact, there is no really big party. I think in Eqebega, ANC and DA had the same number of seats, if I'm not mistaken. But how do you appreciate that then to say, you know, perhaps even the national leaders understand how hollow the leadership capacity is at the local level?
It's a couple of things, actually, in Tembo. I think initially, yes, local government did not receive sufficient attention. People tended to look elsewhere where there's visibility and prominence. But in the last few years, there was a sense, especially with the loosening of regulations and prevalence of impropriety accessing patronage, a number of politicians tended to look down to regional leadership, for instance, or to seek out regional leadership, because regional leadership gave you access to municipal budgets. Mm. So there was a flurry in the last 10 or so years towards those positions, especially because there were loose controls around political behavior and them accessing these resources. So what is required, though, are mainly two things, both from the political and the administrative sides. Administratively, provincial governments, even though the law says they must help with ailing municipalities, provincial leaders have not been good with their interventions. In fact, they've been complicit in some of the maladministration in these municipalities. Monies that get stolen in one municipality are shared with provincial leaders because of this factionalism. And so you need to change regulations to a point where you don't just leave it on provincial leaders to intervene in any municipality, but you have to have an independent body that decides when to intervene and examine these recovery plans that they come up with and make sure that you don't abort an administrative measure midstream because you're simply interested in giving the veneer of intervention, right? Mm. And also, because provincial leaders and the ANC as a whole was implicated in this impropriety, they never listened to the Auditor General. I mean, as far back as 2005, 2006, Auditor General was saying there's a lot of wastage here, there's a lot of looting. Reports, for instance, come in every year. They identify municipalities where monies are stolen, but you hardly have any investigations, because to have an investigation, council must approve that investigation. Yeah. So councillors obviously can't approve an investigation into their own
conduct. Yeah.
Exactly. So we need to tighten the laws.
Absolutely.
Change how things are done. For instance, municipalities, municipal managers must be appointed by outside bodies. The reason why these parties are rushing to be mayors and deputy mayors is because they know that the mayor becomes solely in charge of the appointment process. So they then appoint their own guy as a municipal manager.
And soon enough, we may see a turnover, because that's what happens at times. Irregular removals of MMs and these municipal managers end up in court litigating against unfair dismissal and all of these things. And Nompumelelo, I'll come back to you after this short break. I want to deal with this issue that Prof. Nhlejana is raising, tightening the accountability architecture of local government. Auditor General does this, submits the report to council, submit to MEC, but at times nothing comes of it. How do we make sure that these processes are tightened for the improvement of service delivery? 16 minutes to 11 o'clock.
Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now, we're talking.
Indeed, it is 14 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. People of Power, 0861-987-000 is the dial if you want to be part of this conversation. We are diving deep into the issue of coalitions and whether or not Nompumelelo, as I said earlier, you know, Prof. Nhlekana suggesting, you know, we tighten the processes. This call for an independent body, something that, you know, I've been saying, it seems to me, the manner in which local government is structured, that wall, what we call the political administrative interface, that wall between politicians and the administration is so tiny, it's almost non-existent. This is my office. The chief whip's office is just two doors away from me. This makes Chief Whip think that we are friends and we do the same thing and that they can impose themselves as they wish on the operation of this office. Seems as if there's something that we need to do, especially as we get into this dispensation, Nompumelelo, of more and more coalition governments. I suppose more and more municipalities will be hung into the future, and we've got to protect them in terms of functioning and delivering services for the people.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's a big debate around the professionalization of, you know, local government versus the politicization. I mean, it's very difficult when, you know, local government in particular is the site of accumulation, it's the source of employment for many who are seeking opportunities in a country where there are very limited opportunities for social mobility. And so there are many issues that come into play, inequality. But I think in terms of strengthening democracy, is that we need to really talk about the role of the voter and the electorate and residents between elections. And so the idea that, for instance, we need to see more transparency in terms of these agreements that are entered into by you know, political parties. These need to be made public so that the voters who voted these parties into power can begin to see and weigh and decide whether they're in agreement with these agreements that are put forward. So transparency is really something that needs to be emphasized, something that is crucial. Usually also when we, you know, in these debates about electoral reform, I think one of the points that really needs to also come to the fore is the fact that you know, democracy is only also as strong as the internal party democracy. Mm-hmm. And we know that political parties are quite centralized in the way that they function. And so it's very difficult to have a bottom-up approach, a participatory approach, when political parties themselves do not function in that way. And so when it comes to governing, that is the style of governance that they bring. And so that's where you see the agency of local actors is stymied, because they are report to structures above them that often dictate to them what the interests should be, even when those interests are contrary to what the residents are telling councillors themselves. So there's really something to be said about that as well, in terms of how parties themselves function and how to regulate that a bit better in terms of party constitutions reflecting the spirit of the country's constitution itself.
But Nompumelelo, what of, before I take the calls, and on that trail of thought, yesterday I was talking to Marlon Daniels of the Patriotic Alliance, their national chairperson. He's also been a participant in the Nelson Mandela Bay coalition. He said to me outright, as Patriotic Alliance, they don't care about finding each other on issues first. It's positions. What are you giving me? What seat am I going to have? If we can't have that conversation, then forget about our cooperation. I mean, when it becomes so brazenly expressed that power is what we are after before we can find each other on manifesto issues where we agree, what should we make as the public?
It's a problem of our political culture. It's not for me, it's not a PA problem. It's our political culture, which of course is we need to contextualize it as well within the context of the socioeconomic challenges and social challenges that we have in our country. So power, people are looking for positions. People are looking for power because that's the way for them to get that social mobility. And unfortunately, that's what, and we don't talk about this enough, that's what local government elections and the vying for councillor positions and candidature is about. That's why it's so violent as well.
You know, it's really about also the question of economics. And we need to begin to tease that out. Is how do we also have a conversation about municipalities being creators of opportunities when the political culture itself is driven by self-interest, is driven by the power seeking and that kind of thing. And so that's why I'm saying that in the interest of strengthening democracy, we need to see how we bring back the public in between elections, you know, to weigh in on some of these things. We all know that these IDP processes are usually rigged, and it's not really an expression of the will of residents. Mm. So how do we strengthen these processes to involve and engage residents and yep. voters more? And part of it as well is, for instance, can we not maybe think about a recall, provision at all levels of government, where residents can petition to recall councillors, to recall officials that are not performing according yep. to what they voted for.
In, in some jurisdictions, they call it a confidence vote. Do you still have a confidence in this person who governs you? Let's go to that line, 0861-987-000. Taboe, good morning to you.
Morning, Lukhona, how are you?
Fantastic, how are you doing?
I'm good, Lukhona. Let's start here, Lukhona. If we want to tighten this thing, we must firstly get rid of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because of this name is kind of minimizing the crime itself. Because of we speak of people who are doing the most damage. And then we say it's a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. To me, we are minimizing the crime itself. Until we put the name of saying this is a crime against humanity. So people are being denied service. You know, look on. So we've got to resolve this issue. This name, look on, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. These people are so confident to the extent of even threatening the life of the auditor general. There are no consequences. So they feel so comfortable in doing this. And then in the process, because we are losing very good people who are working there, who were waiting for the law to take its course, but it does not. And then when people are continuing to steal, and those are waiting for the law to take its hand, its course, they end up being impimpy. And then their lives now are being threatened, and others they choose the path of even let also steal.
Okay,
that's the problem. Thank you,
Tabo. Thank you very much, Bonga. Good morning.
Kamaku Mthembomhle, ndifuna ukuza igqala uProf Mcebisi Ndletyana. Does he regard what we see by AFP and PA a democracy? Because my opinion, there's no democracy here. IFP and the PA decided not to give power to ANC on behalf of people. Remember, people were governed by ANC for more than 27 years. People are not happy because ANC is not delivering. People decided not to give ANC a majority vote. They decided to distribute, to redistribute to all amongst all political parties so that they can govern to bring a majority government. But the IFP and PA decide to give back the power to the ANC. Is that a democracy? There's no democracy. I call upon all Africans, particularly the Tembu Nation, where I come from, to stand up and fight for independence. I want to be run, to be led by my king. Thank you, Bud.
Thank you, Bonga. You love this independence thing, Gama.
Well, there was an electoral, a democratic process. The results are an outcome of that credible process. None of the parties won a majority. And the law requires that they cooperate to set up a government. And so the majority of whom, whatever they agree upon, stands. So all these regulations and processes that we have gone through are products of democratic processes guided by our foundational values. So this is democracy. You might not like it. And the fact that he doesn't like it testifies to the fact that we have different views about these things. But I would not agree with returning to a monarchy, this idea of independence. I don't think that's going backwards, I'm afraid,
Absolutely. I hear you loud and clear. Dr. Breakfast, there's no doubt as political parties do their gamemanship and all of that, voters will be frustrated. But as Prof. Ndletyana is saying, the truth of the matter is that a hung council depends on political parties that find each other.
Of course, they do. You know, there is an argument that coalitions are undemocratic by nature, because you vote for a party, and then the party that you voted for goes behind your back and then joins forces with another party that you did not vote for without your knowledge. So to some people, that is a matter of a concern. But I think due to the political environment that is fragmented, that gives rise to a lack of majoritarianism, which creates a scope for power-sharing formations to come into the picture.
Absolutely. I mean, Nompumelelo, we're also seeing high participation levels. I mean, in eThekwini, I know I keep going back there, but I mean, it's just joined these hung metros. So it's an important talking point. 19 parties hold 23 seats among themselves. So we're also seeing a high level of participation of parties that end up with one seat, two seats here, three seats there. As the voters, you know, look at what is happening in these coalition agreements, do you think it might influence their voting patterns in future to really just obsess with what they think are parties that have a potential to garner a lot more votes than those that may garner a little votes?
Yeah, I think it's very tricky, I suppose, you know, to say what voters will usually base their decisions on. It's not homogenous, and it's not linear as well. I guess they will look at performance and other issues about whether they feel that their interests are represented by a particular party, you know, the effectiveness of those people that they put into council. But definitely we can say we are a vibrant multi-party democracy. You know, when you look at the number of parties that we see, the question that we need to ask is how effective then having that representation and diversity of party views is in terms of ensuring that councils are effective in oversight and holding those executives to account as after the coalition agreements are signed and people get into their offices, is to what extent are they going to be able to exercise oversight? And are we going to see anything different in terms of accountability, transparency, answerability, you know, for this maladministration, for wasteful expenditure, and greater cooperation perhaps with bodies like the Auditor General?
Well, the jury is out and time is running out. After 11 o'clock, we will be talking to COCTA to get some sense of, you know, where we are and what institutional support are they offering to these hung councils. Prof. Ndletyana, Dr. Breakfast, Masibalukhulu, thank you so much to all of you.
Thank you, sir.
That brings Thought Council to an end.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.